All right, welcome everyone to another Sunday afternoon Revolution Radio's Cancel the Cabal. I'm Stephen Roberts. I'm not sure what's going to happen today. I hope there's a break. I was told something in the Skype chat, but there's been some problems with the studio. So I will just see what's going to happen. Maybe I can get a hold of somebody on Skype chat. But as some of you may have heard, I tried to bring my guest website up there, and some music started playing right on air. So I didn't know where to mute the sound or anything, but I was going to read a little bit of his bio, but I think I will let him tell us about himself anyways. It would be more of a on the spot thing for him to do, but hopefully he can do it. But my guest is Siddiqui Bakari. Welcome to the show, Siddiqui.
Greetings. How are you?
Very good. As you may have heard there, I tried to bring your website up, but some music started playing right along. And I had to shut it off. I was going to get your bio and read it a little bit. But
right.
Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself that you might say differently on your website?
Well, I am. Let me say this first. I am a father. I am a son. I am a researcher. I'm also considered an empowerment specialist. I'm considered an authority when it comes to topics such as transhumanism, the singularity, and artificial intelligence, and how that relates to human experience. I've written 11 books, four particularly on those topics that we'll discuss on the show this evening. I want to thank you as well for having me on the show. Just a little bit about my story. I was raised as a artist, so to speak. So I've always had that creative force in my life, and it was guided by my parents. So ever since the age of 6 or 7, I've always been in front of people, hence the speaking and doing seminars and things of that nature. So that's always been a part of my journey, and that's very important. It's also researching history has always been a part of my journey from a standpoint of things that I dealt with.
Well, seems I've lost the studio and my guest. Okay, I'm going to have to try this over again. Not sure what's going to go on. Hello, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Okay.
Okay.
We're going to deal with the technical difficulties.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay.
I've actually lost my studio.
But my journey again, high school, college, some of the things that I've experienced really led me to researching and studying history, primarily because the history that I was being taught really had nothing to do with my history, or it was distorted or co-opted. It just didn't resonate with me, so that sparked me to study history as well. I received a student athletic scholarship to a university. From there, I had the opportunity to try out for several NFL teams. It didn't work out, and that was important. Because that what happened is at that point I really got more serious from a standpoint of researching, really understanding how the corporate structure works, whether that's athletically, from a standpoint of business and other things. So I had already been through the educational system and really understanding how that worked. And from there I really got into the researching, which ultimately fast forwards to, you know, where I'm at now and dealing with the topics that I deal with. So that's primarily in a nutshell. Also, I'm really involved in activism. I'm part of an organization called the FTP Movement that have served hundreds of thousands of people on the planet nationally and internationally. And that's probably something that I'm most proud of, is just being of service.
Well, that's excellent. That's very, very good. Yeah. As you mentioned there, I also tried to say that my studio dropped also, but I got it back.
Okay.
There's all kinds of problems going on with the studio. I guess there was a big storm down there and hit a bunch of software and hardware, and they've been having some problems today. But I have my own personal recording, and I have everything. There's Siddiqui, so we'll be fine.
Absolutely.
Let's get into the transhumanism. I believe you said on the short chat we had the other day, you're not so much into the history of it, but more the present and the future.
Right. Well, the reason I'm not as much in the history is because I think that's something that someone can easily look up and research for themselves. And most of the scholars who deal with transhumanism deal with the history aspect of it. However, I'll give a little history. First and foremost, ever since we can document humans being on the planet, all right, I'm talking about in the physical form, we've always been dealing with some form of transhumanism. It wasn't called transhumanism. However, anytime we interface with something outside of ourselves, some type of an external brain, so to speak, that is a form of transhumanism. So when we're interfacing with nature, that is a form of transhumanism because it becomes an extension of ourselves, that experience that's taking place, the human experience that's taking place. So whatever it is that we're interfacing with in itself is a form of transhumanism. Now, when we say transhumanism, we're not just talking about the blending and merging or interfacing with machines or artificial intelligence, or some form of an inorganic organism, which is primarily what we hear it to be defined as, referring to transhumanism. It gets much deeper than that. It's just about the interfacing and interaction that we have with all that is around us to a degree, is in essence a form of transhumanism. And I wanted to make that clear. It's not just the blending and merging of machines or AI, so to speak. Also, it's a form of what's considered cyborg anthropology. Also, so people can look that up. Look up cyborg anthropology to kind of understand what that means to have an external brain, so to speak. When we deal with the computer, that's an external brain, just so we understand. The number one algorithm right now in the world is Google. I mean, outside of our innate selves, of course, is Google. So that says a lot because that is defining for us, at least from those statistics, if we're going to roll with those statistics as being true. That means that the interfacing with the internet is at an all time high. So instead of dealing with our own intellect and capacity mentally, we'll go to the computer and we'll Google something. So this is interesting in how this affects, human behavior. Our digital phones as well. That's another form of cyborg anthropology or transhumanism when we deal with our digital phones and all that comes with the digital phone, whether it's just simply talking on the phone, whether it's going to the internet from the phone, whether it's interfacing with the music and or entertainment, so to speak, and things of that nature, watching videos. This is all part of a transhumanist experience, so to speak. And that would move us into what is called the singularity, the notion of a singularity, which means that a tipping point, so to speak, where artificial intelligence becomes more intelligent than humans, so to speak. And that's your this notion of the singularity. So humanity is being moved into that, the notion of singularity. I mean, depending on where you get your research and information from and which scientists, biotechnologists, neurotechnologists, neurologists, just depending on where you get your information from and dealing, first of all, transhumanism is here now. Let's just make that clear. It's always been here. The singularity is predicted to occur. Most researchers, academicians, and scientists will give you a time frame anywhere from, the earliest I've seen is 2029, and it primarily goes, it ranges out to 2100. So that's your, pretty much your prediction for the singularity to occur, and which is interesting. However, those predictions to a degree can be made based on what is called exponential growth. And just how we've seen technology exponentially grow over the last 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, you can predict based on that exponential growth where the technology is headed, the different types of technologies, where they're headed. You can predict a time when they'll get there, you know, whether it's on point or whether it's 5 years before or 15 years after, but you can give yourself a time capsule, so to speak, of when that predicted element will occur. So that's kind of a background on it, so to speak. And going back to transhumanism, the term itself, as far as my research, the term was coined by Julian Huxley, a biologist in 1957. So as far as the term and my research, that's when the term first occurs.
I have just a quick question. I know a lot of people put a bad stigma on transhumanism, but do you think it actually should be a bad stigma on the word?
On the word or the actual implementation of it?
Well, the implementation, both actually, yes.
Well, I don't really have a problem with the word. I do, to a degree, have a problem with the action of it, so to speak, how it will be implemented, the manifestation of this this transhumanist, to a degree, agenda. First of all, in dealing with science, whatever science brings forth is going to be based on the mindset of the scientist. It's an extension of the scientist, number one. So if we are dealing with scientists who have moral issues, integrity issues, and also may be psychopathic, we have to be clear that the science will be an extension of that. So we can have geniuses that are psychopaths. That will be the extension of the science. So in dealing with transhumanism, we have to be clear of what is the purpose for all of this technology and how is that technology affecting humanity, and will humanity have access to much of this technology? Those are questions we have to ask ourselves. I'm not against technology. I'm for technology that assists humanity and doesn't fringe on our spiritual selves, our innate essence, our divinity, things of that nature. So those are things that we really have to pay attention to. Let's look at transhumanism from a standpoint of, let's say a person loses a limb. I'm not against there being the technology to replace the limb. And of course, that limb will operate as close as possible to the original limb that the person had. I don't have a problem with those type of aspects of technology. Now, when we're trying to create super soldiers and bionic men and women and things of that nature, that's when I have a problem.
That's what I do, too. As you happen to mention that transhumanism goes back a long, long ways, and you just classified, having a lost limb replaced. Mm-hmm. That's actually been, I think, civilization's been doing that for hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands mm-hmm. of years.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me preface it with this. Even with us knowing that, we know that the body itself has the capacity to regenerate itself when operating in its proper capacity. So that's a whole different conversation, being that we know, based on what we're eating, what we're drinking, the air we're breathing, biological and chemical warfare, that's really not happening. However, we know that the body has the capacity and ability to do it. And I wanted to make that point, because whenever we deal with transhumanism and all of this technology, we have to be clear that intelligence, that artificial or synthetic intelligence, doesn't exist without an organic intelligence, an archetypal intelligence. Therefore, it is simulating, mimicking, or emulating an original intelligence. So we have to keep in mind that that's what's taking place. However, that's not necessarily being promoted and discussed, really, by the main scholars that deal with this information, the scientists that deal with this information. And that's another issue I have, is there is no yin and yang, so to speak, in the approach of how transhumanism is being given to humanity through media and things of that nature. Unless it's a revolutionary type of media or underground media, of course. But it's not giving the pros and cons, so to speak. And I think that's a major issue. A lot of people just aren't getting the full scope of information. There's definitely a strong aspect of emotional programming taking place in dealing with transhumanism and this notion of the singularity, as far as playing on people's emotions. Army veterans or military veterans and things of that nature who may have lost limbs, being able to replace their limbs. So they're using this this type of programming, so to speak, to get people to want to use the technology, and to give the system, of course, more impetus to fund the technology. And, it's just interesting to me, being that there's people who are starving, there's people who don't have shelter. We have all of these situations with humanity that should not exist in a country that is supposed to be the wealthiest country on the planet, or nation on the planet, so to speak. So you would think that the corporation of the United States would, be able to do the necessity things, as opposed to giving millions and billions of dollars for these different technologies that are primarily, in many cases, going to be used for military warfare and things of that nature.
I'm so glad to hear you say that.
Are being used. Let me correct myself. Are being used.
Certainly.
As we speak right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, well, I'm on the same side you are, Siddiqui. I don't have much of a problem with many of the technologies that make things easier for somebody that has had something happen to them. As we mentioned, legs, arms. I've even seen some people that have lost half of their face or half of their head for some unknown medical reason, and they get prosthetics in right. place and make them look nearly normal. But I think the singularity is where the problem is. Mm-hmm. The merging of technology with the humans. Mm-hmm. I think you might know a man named Lennon Honor. I've had him on the show. Mm-hmm. He talked a lot about the transhumanism and singularity, and he did a very, very interesting series of short documentaries on the Star Trek TV series, the Next Generation series, I believe it was. And
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I'm very familiar with Lennon Honor. Actually, he's a friend of mine. He's out here as well in Southern California. He has some great works in general, but he also does the documentary that you mentioned is a great documentary dealing with transhumanism, just going in on Star Trek. And it's a lot of movies and shows that definitely have pushed the line in regards to transhumanism, the singularity, artificial intelligence, and these different types of technologies. Some of the latest movies, we know about Transcendence. We also know about the movie Her. We know about movies such as Final Cut. We know about movies such as the RoboCop series.
And there's many others.
However, Her is very interesting. I don't know, you know, if people really took interest to that movie. But Her, it's a lot of programming going on in that movie. Emotional programming, psychosexual programming, social programming. It's a lot of different types of programs that's just being laid on top of another. So, you know, it's a very interesting movie. I think everyone should look at that movie. Pay attention to the dialogue. The most important part of the movie is the dialogue. You have to pay attention to the dialogue in that movie. Just from the standpoint of, and I've been talking about this for years, but just from the standpoint of, humans and their interfacing with, cybernetic organisms, cyborgs, androids, things of that nature. So this movie isn't any different. It's just not cyborgs or androids. It's actually an operating system. So we're talking about, cyber consciousness or digital consciousness. To a degree. So it's very interesting when you deal with the dialogue and you notice particular things that happens in the movie. And I don't want to give much of the movie. However, you notice that the operating system is learning from the human. Okay. Or just say robot, however you want to look at it, is learning from the human and gathering information and intelligence for its operating system and this notion of cyber consciousness, all right, which we know cyber consciousness as being uploaded, so to speak, into a some form of a machine, all right, mind files or mindware, so to speak, being uploaded into a machine. And if you're not familiar with Martine Rothblatt, that's where you can find much of that information on mind files, mindware, and mind uploading. And it's very interesting information. But you can find that information there. So we're seeing this in the movie, and we're seeing that this operating system is learning from this human, but we also know that the operating system is learning from other operating systems. So in other words, what I'm saying is robots are learning from each other. Robots are learning from other robots. And I hope people hear what I'm saying, and I hope it's not too far out for the listeners, but just be clear, this technology already exists.
Yeah, well, you're kind of getting into what's that? I think it's artificial intelligence, aren't you?
Absolutely. It's all connected. It's all connected. Transhumanism, artificial intelligence, and the singularity. And that's why I deal with them in one construct, so to speak, because you can't have one really without the other. So that movie, Her, is very interesting. All I can tell you to do is listen to the dialogue, and it takes you into this notion of singularity as well. And you'll see that as you go through the movie. And I'm mentioning this because the movies are giving you a lot of information. And I know we see those movies as being science fiction movies. as if those movies aren't, there's not truth in those movies. But we have to understand those movies, in often, in many cases, are showing you the technologies that already exist or will soon exist or are being worked on. And we have to know that. And whatever they show you in a movie, they're 50 years ahead of that anyway. So let's just be clear of that. And also, when they make these type of movies, just know that these aren't writers that know about all of these different technologies. They're bringing on the scientists and people who work on these technologies. All right. So just know that that's taking place. So that's the movie Her. You definitely want to watch that movie because I know, it operates. We treat it differently. We internalize it differently. It works differently in regards to our brains and things of that nature. When we look at a movie as opposed to maybe reading a book, it may have a different effect or different result. So that's why I also, you know, I tell people watch these movies. It's a reason for them. Watch, Transcendence. It's all about the singularity. So,
yes, it is. Yeah.
You know, yeah. Watch that movie. Mind uploading is there. It's in the movie. They're showing you. In that aspect, they're showing you cyber consciousness, as I mentioned earlier. They're showing you that. So just watch the movies. Pay attention, most importantly, to the dialogue. And, of course, we have the movie Lucy now. Lucy.
Was that so much a transcendence type of movie? I thought they did something physically to her brain with chemicals, although I haven't actually seen the movie yet.
Right.
But.
Well, Lucy is a... It's a mixture of, say, of Limitless, Transcendence, and movies in that vein. But yes, you're correct. It's definitely dealing with, the psychotronic, warfare aspect, using the drugs for brain enhancement and augmentation and things of that nature. That's a huge part of the movie. However, I just said this in the last presentation that I did to even understand what the movie Lucy is about, there's some things that you yourself would have to have some information on. And that's transhumanism, the singularity, digital alchemy, psychotropic drugs, excuse me, not psychotronic. I meant to say psychotropic drugs. And then this notion of immortality. So those things, if you go into the movie really with grasping those things, you'll really get out of the movie what you probably need to get out of the movie. Otherwise, a person will probably fall into the pitfalls of programming that the movie is demonstrating. Like, most people will look at the movie as this historical aspect as far as just the name Lucy. And, I mean, I get it, but that's just really not what's most important. Or this notion of racism that exists in the movie, which really it's the least most important thing in the movie when you really understand these particular aspects that's being laid out throughout the movie.
That's interesting. I haven't seen either Lucy or Her yet.
Right.
I actually just found out about the movie from you just a few minutes ago, but, I'll have to grab that movie after the show here.
Right. Did you see Transcendence?
Yes, I have. I was actually going to bring up Ray Kurzweil. He is,
okay.
He is one of the top progenitors of this, singularity movement.
Right.
Well, actually, I'm not sure if he's the top progenitor of the movement, but he seems to be the figurehead of the movement.
Right. Absolutely. He is. The singularity is near. And The Age of Spiritual Machines. Those are a couple of his books. And Ray Kurzweil is a genius. However, what I mentioned earlier about scientists, I'm not saying he falls in that category. I'm just saying pay attention. So, you know, that's something that needs to be looked at from a standpoint of, again, what's going to be done with these particular technologies? Like, what's the vision for these technologies? Why would you want to create or think you can create a technology that will be that will supersede human intelligence, number one. Number two, why would you want to create this notion of artificial consciousness or cyber consciousness? First of all, it won't happen because there's things that can never be mimicked. The intuition can never be mimicked. You will not be able to mimic the intuition with algorithms. Let's be clear. Because intuition is something that there is no type of number system or anything that can define the intuition. The intuition is beyond speed, so to speak, is what I'm saying. So that will never be emulated, regardless of what scientists bring to the table. The intuition will never be emulated. The greatest technology on the planet is spiritual technology. Aspects of spiritual technology would be the intuition. Aspects of spiritual technology would be our innate selves, our intrinsic essence, things of that nature that can't be emulated based on science. And they're trying, and I know they're trying. However, in most cases, they can't define what consciousness is. They'll give you a definition to make you think they understand what consciousness is. However, they really can't even define what consciousness is.
Well, so, you know, Siddiqui, I think a lot of the things that people don't really understand about this transhumanism is that they are glamorizing it, and they are putting forth. They are cherry picking the particular aspects of the singularity that they want to glamorize and try to get the people on board. Certainly, everybody would be all for someone getting a new arm or a new leg. But right. when it comes to the brain to computer interfacing, even some of those aspects might be good, but some of those aspects can be dark, and that's really not what's getting out there on the mainstream. Anyways, it's getting out there in the alternate media for sure, but they're just cherry picking what they want to glamorize.
Absolutely. In most cases, they're taking what they perceive to be the weakness in human experience, and using these technologies to desensitize and program people to this agenda of transhumanism and the singularity. For example, we spoke on the psychotropic drugs. All right, that's an issue. Whenever you deal with drugs, there's going to be an adverse effect on the human body. Period. Now, if the human body itself is comprised of technology, when you bring in a foreign technology, there's going to be issues with that archetypal technology, first and foremost. So if we're talking about drugs for some type of brain enhancement, there's going to be some form of a drawback. Ultimately, this is what is not being discussed as far as transhumanism and the singularity is concerned. Is this not really being discussed from that particular circle who just happens to be connected to the major sources of media, who just so happen to get the majority or get all of the government funding, that just so happen to have particular things written in law to assist them? So, you know, this is the situation that we're looking at. Again, it's not a holistic approach to dealing with this technology. Now, we're using technology now to do this interview, but this is not a this is to assist people. That's the point of us doing this interview. We want to give people information, so people know what's happening with transhumanism, so we can get to a larger number of people. Look, that's a great thing. I'm not against that. You know, we have computers. We can click one button and send a message out to, in many cases, thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of people. I'm not against that. However, there's things that I am against. I'm against the radiation when we deal with digital phones. I'm against the radiation when we deal with computers. And this is what I mean by it's always drawbacks. Even the agreeable things that we're dealing with, it's still drawbacks. But of course you deal with those drawbacks. Now when we deal with just disagreeable off the top, there's a problem. Creating super soldiers, totally a problem. DARPA being funded billions of dollars for particular programs, or millions of dollars for sub programs dealing with artificial intelligence, dealing with super soldier programs, dealing with biometric intelligence in warfare, dealing with biochemical warfare that still falls under transhumanism, bringing in biochemical agents into the bloodstream and things of that nature. So, you know, it's an expansive topic that we're dealing with here as far as transhumanism. Just mind uploading, we mentioned that. Virtual reality, which is just a whole nother conversation that needs a show of its own. And then we have cryonics, dealing with immortality, dealing with the preservation of the human body and things of that nature. Also dealing with regenerative science from a standpoint of a artificial side of it, so to speak. Then there's cybernetics, integrating humans with machines to create cyborgs, space colonization. I mean, it's just vast. It's vast.
Well, you know, all of these aspects of the singularity, bionics, cryonics, these elite people are researching and funding all of these. Well, I want to make a comment earlier. You said millions and hundreds or millions and billions. That's just what we know of. That's just
right.
It could be upwards of trillions because of all of the money that they steal from us.
Right. Absolutely.
That goes unreported or into the black projects.
Right.
As they're called. But I don't know. I have people in the chat room are giving me questions and comments. Would you like to hear some of them?
Sure.
Yeah, well, there's one. Delta would like to know which country, I think she wants to know, is the biggest researcher of AI.
Well, that's a difficult question. Different countries focus on different aspects. So it's difficult to say one particular country is the main researcher, so to speak. Like when you deal with Russia is heavy into singularity and 2040 and creating avatars and holograms and things of that nature. That's their main focus. As far as my research, that's their main focus. But then you have Japan and China. They're real heavy on. I know Japan right now. Japan is creating robots to compete in the, I think it's the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo. All right. So this is already happening. Like these robots are already competing with each other to compete in 2020. Like this is already happening. This is happening right now, today. So, it just depends. And we know that the U.S. government, you know, and their DARPA programs, we know they're, primarily working on militaristic, you know, types of technology, artificial intelligence and things of that nature, super soldiers. That's primarily what America is known for. However, America, they're dealing with a whole lot. And so are these other countries. So I just, you know, I want to make it clear. It's, again, it is vast and it is expansive when we deal with transhumanism. I mean, think of human experience. It's expansive. Transhumanism in a singularity is attempting to mimic that human experience. So it also is expansive. So, you know, the research, those who are making these types of technologies, notice I said make, not create, making these types of technologies, it's all over the world. It's across the board.
Yeah. That's pretty evident. I've seen some of these robots on some, YouTube videos, coming out of Japan. They're just amazing looking, but, I think where a lot of these elites are failing to actually even realize is they believe, maybe they don't. I don't, you know, I'm not intuitive enough, and I've not researched this subject enough. But we are eternal sentient beings, and there is no there's an afterlife, I believe, but there's also the reincarnation. People have known for centuries, millennia, perhaps, that the soul is eternal. I think maybe this is just my conjecture here, Siddiqui, but I think these people want the body that they are in right now, this particular vessel, they want that to be eternal, and they're not really realizing that the soul is eternal.
Mm-hmm. Well, based on the research, I wouldn't consider that conjecture.
No, you think that's
no, not based on the research. I would not consider that conjecture.
Wow.
What's interesting is, and this is when I say it's expansive, this is what I mean. It even gets into religion and spirituality, which are two different things. However, for communication purposes, I'll use them both. It gets into religion and spirituality. So from a standpoint of if a person, well, first of all, why would a person try to create God? What does that say about that person, that scientist?
That means they're trying to put themselves above God, to me.
Or they themselves don't make the connection that they are of that particular omnipotence.
Right. Okay.
All right. So if that is what we're dealing with, we understand why a person would, or a scientist, or a particular science would attempt to create this notion of quote-unquote God for themselves through technology. So they're deifying the technology instead of deifying the human divine essence. Now, as far as the soul, that's something else that science really can't define. So see, we have all these underlying issues that's not being talked about as far as the promotion of it is concerned. Okay. So we also even, it gets very, very interesting. And this is why I mentioned earlier, the science is an extension of the scientist. If the scientist is psychopathic, so will the manifestation of the science that they are bringing forth.
Absolutely.
All right. So I'm sure your listeners, they know what psychopaths are. We don't need to go through what a psychopath is. All right. But we definitely know that they can't be rehabilitated. They feel no remorse. So these are the type of people that we're dealing with, and they're in every aspect of human experience. All right. The educational system, the music industry. We can go on and on. The judicial system. All right. Politics. All right. These people in many cases are psychopaths, and definitely these structures themselves are psychopathic. That's the reality. So in knowing that that's the reality, we have to ask ourselves, what's going to come of it? What's going to come out of this science? What's going to come out of transhumanism? What's going to come out of the singularity? What would be the ultimate purpose of it? It's going to be based on something that is of a psychopathic pathology, period. It is going to be used to further instill what this United States corporation or whatever one wants to use, the New World Order, Illuminati, whatever, has been instilling. This will be the new phase of that. It's technology. This is what I keep telling people. We are in a spiritual age of transformation. We are also in an age of technology and artificial intelligence. 2012 had two different meanings. One meaning was that which was highly promoted, which was transformation, ascension, things of that nature, things being revealed. That's the 2012 we always heard about. But there was another aspect of 2012 related to technology, which is the human enhancement revolution. And that's what we're seeing right in front of our eyes, the human enhancement revolution, period.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. I've got another comment for you, Siddiqui. Okay. Patrick says, there's no way man can create the higher aspect of man that is put into the mortal coil by the creator. So they can knock themselves out with all the AI that they like. Mm-hmm. The best they can do is pull off instinct.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, the greatest technology on the planet is spiritual technology. When I say spiritual technology, I'm talking about energy and the animation of energy, period, in its organic form, in whatever state it takes or whatever state we're talking about. That is the greatest technology, period.
Yes.
The universe is the greatest technology.
There will
never be anything created by scientists greater than the universe.
Yes, it is.
Period. So what we see based on these different technologies is we see the desecration and denigration of the most important aspects of life. We see the denigration and desecration of the air. We see the denigration and desecration of water. We see the denigration and desecration of the earth. And we can go on and on with how these technologies are being used to desecrate the planet. If the planet is, the planet is alive. So if the planet is being, destroyed to a degree on a daily basis, what does that mean to the people that are inhabitants on this planet?
Well, we are connected to the world. We are connected to the universe. They know
Indeed.
That. Yeah. If they can destroy little bits and pieces just enough to destroy the psyche of man. And mm-hmm. I think we got a break coming up here pretty quick here.
Okay.
Siddiqui, but, okay. They know we're connected, spiritually and, metaphysically. Mm-hmm. And they are doing every single thing possible on all degrees of the 360 degree circle to try to break this awakening.
Right.
And there's my music, Siddiqui.
Okay.
Everyone, we'll be right back after the break at the top of the hour. And welcome back to the second hour of Cancel the Cabal on Revolution Radio. And I'm also on PSN Radio, thanks to Angel Espino. I do want to mention there one of the commercials that gets ran regularly on most of the programs, most of the shows, mentions that we are listener supported. So, if you are able to donate, please go out and hit that donate button. We have certain amounts every single month to make the studio run, so we need to make that quota every month. Do I have you back now, Siddiqui?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to mention also first that I think science here in the last few decades or so has also found out. They don't scientifically know what holds anything together, anything solid. I believe they theorize that there's some sort of a resonating frequency that holds the atom together, because I think they found, maybe my numbers are a little bit off, but I think the numbers are like 99.7% of the atom is free and open space, and they don't really understand what holds the atom together. Have you looked into this?
I haven't really looked into that. So, I mean, I'm not.
Yeah. Well, it just gives a little bit of credence to the old, nursery rhyme, the row, row, row your boat. Life is but a dream.
Right. Well, you know, one thing about science is when they say something, the world seems to take it as if it has to be true.
Right.
And that's why it's so important that we do our own research and really look at what's happening here critically and analytically, and, you know, not be afraid to do that, and not be afraid just because someone may have a PhD behind their name or whatever other alphabets, and just really go in on the information, and, you know, you'll know what resonates with you, you know, when a person does that. They'll know what resonates with them and, you know, what will make sense and what doesn't make sense. And that's really, we need more of that. And just so the listeners are clear, part of the reason I deal with this particular topic is because we really only hear it coming from those particular scientists. We really don't hear it from, you know, our community researchers, so to speak, or our, you know, revolutionary researchers or our independent researchers, so to speak. We don't hear much talk about these particular topics and how they relate to human experience. And this is the reason why I deal with different aspects of human experience, so people can take a particular aspect and really go in on that aspect. So I'm piquing interest on these different aspects. I'll give you an example. Hip hop in the music industry or entertainment. As far as transhumanism, there's very few people dealing with it. And I know because I research. As far as hip hop and the singularity, I can't find one person that's dealing with it. Okay? So this is why it's important that we do this research. And I just want to put this information out here so someone can take one of those particular aspects of human experience and really, really, really go in on it. All right? So my purpose or my job is to give this in a very expansive manner. And that's what I'm doing, in a very expansive format, so we can understand the totality of what's happening here, as opposed to just maybe hearing about one particular aspect. So we really understand how, you know, how huge this is. And it really is. You know, a lot of people don't see it as one of the most important topics that we need to deal with in today's time. But in essence, it is. I mean, even if you look at what's going on in human experience, look at what's going on in Ferguson. If you think artificial intelligence is not a major part of that, you're sadly mistaken. Artificial intelligence can even be information.
Well,
okay.
I think the vast majority of the problem down there in Ferguson is just the overabundance of racial profiling and racism mm-hmm. in the police and the communities there.
Absolutely.
I believe I've heard a statistic that I think a little bit over 70% of the population just in the Ferguson area is African American.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the racism joint, you know, we know that's just something that's ingrained in American culture. We know that what's ingrained in that is you have this notion of an inferiority complex in so-called people of color, and then you have this notion of a superiority complex for those who aren't considered people of color in this construct of race. All right. So yes, we know that that's definitely taking place. It's not just taking place in Ferguson. However, technology is a huge part of that. How is that being promoted? Through what vehicles? How is that being promoted in school through what vehicles? How is that being promoted politically through what vehicles? So, you know, we really have to look at this. It's not the 60s and the 70s, and I always say this. We have to look at what's happening today from a different lens. We learn from what happened in the 60s and the 70s. You know, some things may need to be implemented. Other things may need to be thrown out. You know, but we move forward, and we have to understand today is a different animal than it was in the 60s and the 70s, especially with a lot of the covert programming that's been taking place. And I know you have a lot of guests on your show that deals with those type of topics. So
I do.
You know, definitely, it's a different time, and we definitely have to be aware of that, and we need to bring creativity to the table. As far as humanity is concerned, that's something that we're lacking, and not just creativity, but manifestation of that creativity. We have manifestation, not just, you know, talking. There has to be a type of action, and I'm not talking about the action that we're primarily used to hearing about in mainstream media.
Oh, yes.
Whatever that action means to
yes.
people.
Yes. Just a quick question just come to my mind. Do you think, have you ever been on any type of a mainstream radio program or television program or anything like that?
Yeah, I have. I've been on many mainstream shows. Absolutely. But I mean, I deal with many different topics. Normally, a mainstream show don't bring me on to deal with transhumanism and the singularity. They'll bring
yes.
me on to deal with topics like the music industry.
They cherry pick.
Okay?
They cherry
or
pick.
Or history.
Yep.
You know, things of that nature. But they normally don't bring me on to deal with the type of topics we're dealing with today.
Yes. Well, I found out earlier what happened when the call dropped. The studio also dropped. I think I got some kind of a electronic attack because they shut down my video stream and everything just went haywire at the same time, and it's
okay.
Not really a coincidence. Not for this.
Right.
This is a targeted station that you're on right here.
Absolutely.
I'm on another targeted station. I only get shut off and electronically attacked on two of the four stations that I'm on. So
okay.
It's just a little bit. It's just a little bit coincidence that it happened. But
right.
Yeah. Anyways. Right. We can, we have all kinds of directions we can go in, but, I want to get back to another comment from the chat if I can get back far enough to find it.
Okay.
It's going so quickly.
Oh,
I guess
right?
I've lost it. I've lost it. It's gone, but, I'm sure there will be something else. I'm just going to scan here real quick, see what's going on.
Okay.
I know there's a way to get my chat back from the beginning, but I'm not sure how to
right.
do it.
Okay, well, while you're looking for it, let me give some of the research I've been working on lately.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, again, I want
absolutely.
People to know the expansiveness of these particular topics.
Absolutely.
And just, wow, let me just mention this. Facebook, I know your listeners are familiar with Facebook. Are we clear on really what Facebook is and what it's being used for ultimately? And that's Facebook is being used for, as we mentioned earlier, cyber consciousness,
yes.
Artificial brains, artificial intellect,
social
things of
engineering,
that nature, mind
social,
files
yeah.
or mind portfolio, geo mapping. That's what Facebook is for, to collect your data.
Data forming.
All right?
Yeah.
To collect meta information. Facebook is the metadata. So let's just be clear that that's what's happening. So Facebook is creating a portfolio of each person that's on Facebook. What's in that portfolio? What's in that portfolio? And because most people don't understand this and they put all of their business on Facebook, they're giving them a pretty accurate portfolio of their life. What they eat every morning, what they do every morning, what television shows they may watch, what radio programs they may listen to, what's their emotional demeanor, so to speak. What organizations are they affiliated with? What's their religion? What's their political objectives and things of this nature? So all of that is being saved or preserved for what is called mind files to possibly become a type of a software that can be uploaded, all right, into a human, all right? So let's be clear, or, you know, uploaded into some form of an operational system. It doesn't necessarily have to be a human, an operational system of some form. So that's what's happening with Facebook. Also, one of the original owners of Facebook, Moskovitz is his last name, actually builds artificial brains. All right. So this is something that many of us don't know about, as well as let's look at some of Facebook's business dealings. Facebook bought Titan Aerospace. All right. And these things just happened this year. Facebook bought Titan Aerospace for $60 million. Now, what would be the point of purchasing Titan Aerospace? Titan Aerospace builds drones. All right.
Do they? Okay.
Yes, they build drones. Facebook want to build 11,000 drones. Now, why do they want to build these drones? They want these drones to be in areas to have a signal in those areas. So Facebook will exist in those areas. All right. So this is a major reason why Facebook bought Titan Aerospace. And again, this is to be able to upload, or not even that, but to be able to have the information, the data on these particular people in these different places that right now doesn't have internet access. All right. You're talking about drones, atmospheric satellites capable of staying in the sky for 5 years. All right. So that's the point, to bring internet connection to 2/3 of the world that don't have it. All right. So that's that. Also, Vicarious is a company that Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, Elon Musk of Tesla, and Ashton Kutcher invested $40 million into. Now, Vicarious is an artificial intelligence company. They create artificial intelligence that replicates the brain. All right. Software that's supposed to think and learn like humans. All right. So again, that goes back to what? Facebook as a database. Or an operation system in order to do that. Now, also, Facebook bought, and this is the last one, Oculus VR, all right? They bought them for $2 billion, all right? Basically, Oculus VR does goggles, glasses, called Oculus Rift, okay? So it's this new platform for virtual reality experience and communication, which also will be ran through Facebook. So this is to further enroll people into this notion of virtual environment, virtual experience, virtual reality, mixed reality, and things of that nature.
I've heard this.
Their way of, I guess, creating more.
I've heard this, Oculus Rift is, probably the preeminent, company as mm-hmm. far as virtual reality goes. They have the latest technology and they're, just leaps and bounds of many other companies.
Yeah. So it's all connected. And that's what I want people to know. I want people to be clear that it's all connected. Digital convergence, you know, it's all connected. So, you know, the four major industries all connected as one unified communication experience. But this is all AI. This is all transhumanism. This is all moving towards the notion of singularity. What's the four industries? Information technology, telecommunications, electronics, and entertainment. All of that is on your digital phone right now.
Yes, they are. I seen a post on Facebook. You happened to mention Facebook there, Siddiqui. Mm-hmm. There was a poster. Somebody had made up. They had gotten an old 80s camera. They got an old 80s cell phone. They got an 80s. well, they had something else. They had a music player. They had just virtually everything that someone would have had to have had back in the 80s to do what a smartphone does today.
Right.
And there was a different, you know, there was a lot of equipment on one table and then there was a smartphone on the other.
Right.
I've been told, I've actually got the iPhone 5. It's got an 8 megapixel camera. Somebody told me, a little while ago that as far as 10 to 15 years ago, it would have cost someone over $5,000 just to buy a camera that took a picture of 8 megapixels.
Right, right. Absolutely. Sixth Sense Technology. For the listeners, look it up. Sixth Sense Technology.
I've heard they already have that out there. I've heard they already have that. Well,
right. Exactly what you're talking about. Yes. All of those things in one, as one object, so to speak. But it's far more advanced than a digital phone. But that's why I'm mentioning it. So, you know, to be able to have a computer setup, but I don't mean you're typing buttons in the phone, but a computer setup where you can actually, create things on a solid base, like a wall or something, set up a computer and do all of these different things. So, I mean, it's crazy technology out here. So, of course, that includes what you mentioned. So, you know, it's out here. Just pay attention, you know, do the research and just know that it's probably not for the ultimate benefit of humanity. Listen, they're going to create all kind of gadgets for the people to interface with for instant gratification and things of that nature, because we know humanity primarily now has been programmed into instant gratification. Now. So we're clear on that. And they're going to create technology for that to appease the people. However, it's technologies being created that the people will have no access to. And even the technologies that they give us, the digital phone, so to speak, that phone is, or those types of phones are, basic compared to other types of technologies that exist that's not given to the public.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. I've actually been told by some people that have come out from the underground that they have a lot of these technologies that they, some of these movies that we see, Minority Report is one movie that comes to mind, that they have intuitive type technology that can possibly predict what somebody's going to do or think. And they even have technology that can, you know, predict what you are thinking.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're definitely working on those types of technologies. To what extent?
It's hard to tell. Yes.
Yeah, that's the question. To what extent? But we do know that they're working on those technologies. We know that they can interface with the brain and neural pathways and things of that nature. And, you know, be able to, whether that's augment the brain or enhance the brain, they're also able to, at this point, erase memories, implant memories and things of that nature. That is definitely here. Now, to what level is the question? And there's many different ways to interface, in that way, nanobots and, you know, all kind of different things, you know, nanotechnology. So it's many different ways that they can actually attempt to do that, and they're working on it. So, I mean, it's not far-fetched as far as the Minority Report example. I mean, obviously, we know that there are humans that can do that. So the science will definitely attempt to mimic it. I mean, when you deal with telepathy and clairvoyance and all of these different things, though, that will be things that they will definitely attempt to mimic. They will attempt to mimic the greater aspects of our divinity. To what degree and to what capacity? Of course, that's the question. But again, it is about the deification of the technology, or the deification of something outside of the individual, as opposed to that individual deifying their greater selves. And that which that greater self is connected to, the universe, you know, the stars, the planets, the earth, you know, everything that we are connected to, consciousness, you know, they will definitely attempt to, disconnect that beingness, that divine beingness. Absolutely. So let me give some of these research tools that I'm dealing with right now.
Certainly.
Because I want people to really, you know, to be clear how this is moving. Science Daily. And these are some of the, you know, just some of the online stuff that I deal with. You know, a robot sketches portraits. All right. A robot sketches portraits. So again, we're seeing human experience being emulated in this form. We're talking about a form of art being, an artificial form of art. Okay. So this is, this robot was created by Volkswagen. Some of the major corporations, Volkswagen, Toyota, General Motors, NASA, and there's many other companies that's creating these different types of robots or, artificial machines and things of that nature. Let's look at, robotic suit gives shipyard worker super strength. Now, this is from newscientist.com. Robotic suit gives shipyard workers super strength. So here we're talking about exoskeleton suits and things of that nature, which is still related to and connected to super soldier types of technology. And again, that's another topic. Let's look at the labor force, all right? A lot of people, it's this misnomer that, quote-unquote, Mexicans are taking all of the jobs. In essence, that's not true. If you overstay technology, you
it's
know
the machines.
That
it's the machines.
It is the technology, these different aspects of technology that's taking these jobs. When you call corporations, many times you're not talking to a human. What are you talking to? An operating system. When we deal with these different types of warehouses and that type of work, you're dealing with some form of artificial intelligence, some type of a robot of sorts doing the work. Because guess what? They don't have to do a sick leave. They don't have to have vacation time. They don't have to have lunch. They don't have to have none of that. You don't have to pay them a wage. So this is what's happening. And to a degree, replacing the human element. And this is something that we talked about, brain enhancing. Smart drugs are going commercial. And one of those major drugs is called Allurad. All right. Students, entrepreneurs, athletes, and business execs are primarily being targeted for this particular brain enhancing drug. So here you go via the movie Limitless. All right. Let's see here. This is dailymail.co.uk. Myth that we just use 10% of our brain. And that is a myth because your brain is always working. Your brains are always working.
That's
if
right.
One particular part of your brain is mainly working, the entire brain is still working.
That's
it's
right.
It's not dormant. It's not just there. Even if you're sitting down, you know that your inner biology is working. It's moving. That's how you're living. Your blood is moving. The cells and everything else is moving at all times. So that's interesting. Activistpost.com, coming soon. And I deal with these topics in my books as well, just so you guys know. Coming soon. Digital resurrection of presidents. Campaign holograms for 2016. All right. So we know about this notion of holograms and things of that nature. The Tupac projection, which was not a hologram at Coachella. That was not a hologram. That was a projection. Holograms can be seen from any angle, not just the front. So that's how we know it was a projection and not a hologram.
Yes.
But we know the hologram technology. We know, we definitely know that to some capacity it exists. So we know we've known that we'll see this already anyway. We already know it. Let's see here.
But come on, Siddiqui. Everyone knows that Tupac's still alive, though.
Well, you know, people have their opinions. But, you know, my main point is dealing with the science of it, the technology of it. I can't really get into the hearsay because until he's seen, no one can prove that. Let's see here. You just mentioned this. This was in Natural News. Scientists now able to create or erase memory. All right. Final Cut. If you didn't see the movie Final Cut, that was actually one of Robin Williams' greatest movies. It wasn't heavily promoted, but the movie is called Final Cut. Check that movie out. And it's primarily showing you that not in the capacity of working from the brain, though, it's showing you from having a video, like a video chip. Implant it behind the retina or the pupil in the movie, and you'll see what happens when your entire life is videotaped, and what can be done to show your entire life once you leave the physical world. So that's something you may want to see. Regenerative medicine. This was on it, Kurzweil.net. Regenerative medicine, reprogramming cells by computer. So you know, this is really. The vision for this is really, really out there. Just a couple more and we'll finish it up. The India Times, artificial wombs.
Well, you're more than welcome to stay. I still have 20 minutes for the hour. You're more than welcome
okay.
to stay for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Artificial wombs. Very interesting here. Something women may want to pay a lot of attention to. I was talking about this some years ago. It's in the books as well. Very interesting. The augmentation of the womb, as well as being able to go in the womb and to augment an embryo or a fetus. So this is very interesting here. Also, as far as taking the woman out of the scenario in regards to having a child. So that's some information someone may want to definitely look up. A lot of information here. Computer programs are people too. from thenation.com. Computer programs are people too. So ultimately, this is going to get into the law side of transhumanism, all right, as well as a singularity. People rarely talk about law in regards to these particular topics. Marriage, things of this nature, rights. How is that going to affect or apply when it comes to robots or the humans and their interaction with robots or artificial intelligence in general? What happens if there's a human that feels that they're in love and in relationship with a operating system? What does that mean? Or a android? Or cyborg, cybernetic organism. What does that mean from a standpoint of the law? Now, they're not talking about this publicly, but you better believe they're talking about it behind closed doors. They're already talking about marriage between humans and robots. Pay attention. It's going to come. It's coming. And you have to understand, with all of the programming that's already taking place, and exponential growth is on the path to happen. So we've seen what's happened with other types of marriages and that type of programming and what's been put forth and where it's headed. And this is going to be another situation that there will be laws written in and things of that nature in regards to that. And I mean, there's already different types of robots that people are interfacing with on a daily basis now as we speak, whether that's personal robots, worker robots, different types of robots. And of course, quote unquote, sex robots as well. That's an entirely different rabbit hole. I do deal with that in the books as well. And a matter of fact, before I forget, I know your listeners are all over the world. If you are in Los Angeles, Southern California, near Southern California, or you know people in Southern California, send them to, I'm doing a presentation. So if you want to see me live and really want to see this information broken down, through a slide presentation and things of that nature. The presentation will be called the Hip Hop Transcendence and Synthetic Alchemy. So I'm primarily going to deal with the music industry, entertainment, and the hip hop, organic hip hop. So all the information is on my website. Just go to my website, www.SadiqiBakari.com, S-A-D-I-K-I-B-A-K-A-R-I, SadiqiBakari.com. The flyer is on the home page. All the information is there. It's September 7th in Los Angeles. Again, this is a very unique presentation and unique information dealing with hip-hop, the music industry, transhumanism, the singularity, and artificial intelligence. Now, first of all, hip-hop and the music industry are two different things. Let me say that. Two different things. Hip-hop is not the music industry. The music industry is a clone. It is synthetic, and it is used to mimic hip-hop, which is organic, the art form. So that's the mistake that 99% of people make. They think that it's one entity when it's not one entity. They're separate entities. They interface, of course, and you can't have the synthetic construct called the music industry without hip-hop. And when I say hip-hop, I mean the art form. All right. I don't mean hip hop when people just see rap, quote unquote, and they think that that's hip hop. That's not what I'm talking about. The art form. It is a lot that goes into what hip hop is, or art in general. Because before there was this term called hip hop, you had the Black Arts Movement, you had the Harlem Renaissance, you had all these other eras that was dealing with art. And that's what hip hop is. Hip hop is art at its highest form, in a divine state, in an organic state, in a spiritual state, not what you see on BET, MTV, VH1, what you predominantly hear on the radio. The videos that you see is not hip hop. All right. So I want to show people that, but most importantly, we're going to relate it to transhumanism and the singularity. All right. How these organic aspects of hip hop are being mimicked by some form of artificial intelligence. All right. So let me give some examples. Again, I've written books on this, so you can go to the site, but I'll give you some brief examples here. There's four major elements when you deal with hip-hop, and then there's a fifth element. The fifth element is knowledge. The major four elements, MC, which most people mistake for a rapper. A rapper is primarily what you see in the music industry. An MC is a true artist, a true master of the spoken word, a true master of being able to bring that energy into this realm. And of course, we see that manipulation being taken place in the music industry by using auto-tune, which is a synthetic voice. It's a digital clone. All right. So the music industry is taking away the essence and power of the word and the voice and watering it down. That's one example. Another example is the DJ, all right? We know that the DJ is important from a standpoint, just simply put, the DJ is important from a standpoint of creating the energy for a party, so to speak, or creating the energy if it's a set being played on a radio station or something. That's the DJ. That DJ is connected to the creation of whatever energy will be manifested. That's the DJ. We know that the DJ now is being cloned from a standpoint of using robotics. So now there's robots that are mimicking the DJ, literally. Whether that is a DJ meaning a turntablist, or whether that is a DJ meaning actually working at a radio station, so to speak. Whether that's a helper, DJ meaning helping with what's happening in the station and things of that nature. And then there's the B-boy, B-girl, what people call a break dancer, all right? B-boy, B-girl. We know that artificial intelligence-wise, we see breakdancing robots. Japan has a breakdancing robot called Manio Go. There's other breakdancing robots as well. So we see the attempt to digitize and clone these elements. The fourth element, graffiti. People call graffiti the aerosol artist, known as the graffiti artist. And I've already spoken about the Volkswagen robot who is sketching pictures and images. So the aerosol artist, we know, people call it tagging, where they, you know, the train stations and things of that nature, that particular art form. So we know that those four elements are being mimicked. Also, beatbox is considered a fifth element, depending on where you get your information. We know that the beatbox can be emulated. I've yet to hear it myself, but that's simple voice programming. That's simple. So if they want to do it, they can do it. So that's your beatbox. So I can go on and on as far as hip-hop, the music industry, and technology from a standpoint of videos. I can show you the transhumanist agenda that's taking place, album covers as well. Janelle Monáe's Metropolis album cover is a transhumanist cover. Christina Aguilera's Bionic album cover is a transhumanist cover. Common song slash video, Universal Mind Control. Chris Brown's song and video, Transform You. This Sprite commercial with Drake. Bjork's video, All Is Full of Love. You see the interfacing with what is shown to be two robots mimicking two women having sexual encounters in that video. The Black Eyed Peas song, I'm a Bee, is another transhumanist type of video. Rihanna's Rude Boy video with the dancing robots. That also has psychosexual overtones. And then the Jackson's variety show, which is the first time we actually see an entertainer interfacing with a robot live on stage. And the robot was given a name, which was Maurice. So we know that this is happening. First rapping robot was James Monroe, a robot named Rapoleon. So I can go on and on documenting this. And this is what I'll do September 7th in Los Angeles. So I'll make all the connections, as well as I'll deal with some of the present and future aspects of technology in general, and what's happening, you know, in that particular dynamic. So, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot of information here. We're dealing with a lot. So, you know, get this information. I put a lot of time into researching this information. Hip Hop Androids, Artistic Clones in the Portal of Artificial Intelligence. That's the book that has the majority of that information in it, an entire book dealing with hip-hop, the music industry, and technology. Also, I have Wormhole, Cybernauts, and Holographic Gods. These are the four books that are specifically related to the topics that we've been talking about today. Is Computer Software the New God, Cyber Consciousness and Cybernetics in the Epoch of Spiritual Transformation? Interface, all right? That is one of the books as well. And then lastly, this is the latest book, the magnum opus on sacred spiritual technology, Akashic Interface, and the Singularity. So this book actually has four books in it, several essays and articles and things of that nature. So if you really want to know about transhumanism, artificial intelligence, the Singularity, and many other topics, and how it relates to human experience go to the website, order these books. I also have several DVDs. So I want to thank the listeners for listening. I want to thank you for having me. And I know we still have some time. So
yeah, somebody popped up with a comment there.
Okay.
I thought I would run that by you. If I haven't lost it again already. Anyways, I think the comment broke down to hip hop basically, means the hip of op, or to turn that around, the op of hip, the operation of hip.
Uh-huh.
I thought you might, make a comment on that.
Well, yeah, I've heard that. However, it gets much deeper than that. And that's why I don't use that when I, deal with hip hop. And I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, you know, that's great. We need to have all that information, and I appreciate, that comment. You know, I just want people to be more in tune with the power of hip hop, and what hip hop really represents. And now this is something that I do love to deal with from an ancient perspective. And there's also, let me give people some references here.
Sure.
Outside of my work, you also have, The Black Dot, and the title of his book is Hip Hop Decoded. The Black Dot, Hip Hop Decoded. And then there's also Professor Griff. For those of you who like to deal with the Illuminati and secret societies and things of that nature. Professor Griff's book is The Psychological Covert War on Hip Hop. And I'm familiar with these brothers. I know these brothers. We work together. So, you know, their information is definitely on point. It's next level information, and we draw from each other and, you know, quote and reference each other's information as well. So, those are some books that you can also, deal with as far as, hip hop in general. Black Dot really deals with hip hop from a metaphysical perspective. He's kind of cornered the market on that and has created one hell of a blueprint as far as that is concerned. And Griff created one hell of a blueprint from a standpoint of the secret societies and all of that and its relationship to hip hop. My area is how it relates to technology, transhumanism, and the singularity. That's where I go with it. So I'm more, where is it headed? I also created, and this is in the magnum opus book. I created, it's over a 200-year timeline that documents hip hop from, the late 1970s. And it's a futuristic timeline that goes into, 2200. And that's based on exponential growth.
Is
all right. So I don't consider it prediction. I consider it based on exponential growth.
Sure.
And human experience being able to kind of highlight and outline what's coming. Quick examples. Right now we see, battles as far as with MCs battling each other. Well, what you're going to see is MCs eventually battling robots, and then eventually you're going to see robots battling robots.
Yep.
Period. It's coming. You already see robot breakdancers. So we see the emulation and simulation of all of these different aspects of hip hop. So we're going to see the simulation of organic hip hop. And we're also going to see the simulation of what is happening in the music industry. So it's going to be twofold. So we're going to see all of that being mimicked, and we'll see it in the future. And I've documented that, and I've given a time frame for it. Whether the time frame is correct or not, you're going to see it.
Absolutely.
Whether it's 10 years before, 10 years after, 20 years after, you'll eventually see it.
Yeah. One last quick question. I think we have enough time for you to address it. It's a solution oriented, question.
Okay.
Do you think we will be able to, beat this singularity, agenda?
I don't even think it's about beating it. I just think it's more so about, us, humanity, truly being at the apex of our potentiality, so to speak, and realizing that, potential. That's what it's going to come down to. Again, these sciences are mimicking us, period. That doesn't exist without us. Transhumanism, the singularity, artificial intelligence especially, none of that exists without us. So all we have to do is truly be who we are, live our purpose, be the best that we could possibly be. Go through our transformation, go through our ascension, go through our journey, and not be afraid to do that. Be fearless. And if we have fears, be able to deal with those fears and move forward, be able to overcome them. And in dealing with solutions, and I'm so glad that the person asked that question. I have templates specifically for solutions for a particular person, because it starts with the individual. So I have templates, Mastering the Alchemy of Transformation, Mastering the Alchemy of Transformation. And these are books and DVDs as part of the live seminars that I do, which is primarily for personal mastery, personal empowerment. That's what it's going to take. We have to be our higher selves, period. And that's it.
Yes, we do.
As long as we're doing that, we'll be fine. Now, that doesn't mean there's not going to be a confrontation.
Yes, we do.
It doesn't mean that. However, for us, listen, I'll give an example with Ferguson.
Very quickly.
Very quickly. Even when we look at Ferguson, and I'm not taking away from what's happening out there and what the people are doing. However, until we deal with who we are as individuals, what we bring to the table is chaos. So we have to deal with our personal selves first in order to move as one, in order to move as a group, in order to move as an organization, in order to move as humanity, as a people, first and foremost. So I have the blueprint and templates to do that. All people have to do is plug into that work.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
Yeah, my show is just about up here. I'm not sure where the music is at, but it should be coming up. I have another guest on I'm going to be bringing up here as soon as I drop the studio.
Well, so, thank you for having me.
Yes, we will talk some more.
Absolutely.
I would like to give you a call a little bit later on. That's fine. One more hour to do.
That's fine.
All right. Thank you, everyone. I'm going to pop your site into the chat room again. www.sadikibakari.com, SADIKIBAKARI.com. For those who, well, I'm going to go ahead and let the studio go here, everyone. I'm not sure. There it is, right there. All right, everyone. Be back next week. I'm Stephen Roberts. This is Cancel the Cabal.